Good to be with you this morning. It's a beautiful day, and it's good always to come together to worship our Lord. This morning is the last of our, we've had a short series on the importance of the resurrection and why Jesus had to die on the cross. If you remember, we started the series with the basic question, why did Jesus have to die on the cross? When he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays to his Father to let this cup pass from him. If God's an all-loving, all-powerful God, why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Last week we looked at the integrity of God and the idea that God is a just God. And if God is a just God and he has wrath against sin, how can he just say sin doesn't count? And in Romans chapter 3, Paul goes through and says sin does count. And it took an atonement or something to appease our God. And that was his own sacrifice that God provided for us, to provide for his own justice, because he is a God of integrity. And we looked at the idea that this gift that God gives to us of salvation through our belief in Jesus is for everybody. It doesn't matter how great our sin or who we are or what our heritage is, it's for everyone. Jesus died for us all. And today we're going to finish the series and answer the question, why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Well, part of the answer is the justice of God. And we see also is for ourselves as well, as we go through the second chapter of this part of Romans. If you remember from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But also in John 3:36, if you remember, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever does not obey the Son does not see life. That the life comes from obedience and belief in the Lord. And we'll talk about, what does the belief in the Lord mean? What does it mean to have faith in the Lord? Look with me at our lesson text. We're going to go back right before the lesson text and look at Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. It says, for the promise of Abraham and to his offspring that he would be heir to the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if the heirs of the law who are to be heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise be based on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the inheritance of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who was the father of us all. It is written, I have made you the father of many nations. What do we mean by faith? We talk about that we're saved by our faith, that eternal life for all who believe on Jesus. What do we mean by faith? One writer put faith this way. Faith is a conviction that cannot be shaken by contrary evidence. This is sort of what we would call blind faith. And the idea is, okay, I believe this, and now you show me that, you give me evidence that it's completely wrong, but I still believe it. That's blind faith. That's, in other words, there's contrary evidence to what you say you believe, but you still believe it. Now, that's not the kind of faith that Paul's talking about. He's going to go through Abraham and show that Abraham's faith was reasonable. Now, if I say a faith is reasonable, that means it's based upon evidence. It's not just blind faith. It's not just saying, well, I'm going to believe this regardless of what all the facts say. That's blind faith. And too often, that's what we get ourselves... People look upon Christians, oh, you just believe this, and it's almost like superstition. But we believe in Jesus Christ not blindly, but because of the evidences before us. And Paul's going to go through Abraham's life and show Abraham believed God not blindly, but because of the evidence before him. And he could hope beyond hope because he believed that God was reasonable. We say faith is believing. It's reasonable faith. We put our trust in someone that we believe has the power and is faithful to deliver what they promised. If somebody promises you something, you believe them, then you believe they have the power to give you what they promised, and you believe that they're going to do it. They're faithful to it. What Paul's going to show is that Abraham believed God because he believed God had the power to do what God had promised, and he believed God was faithful to his promise. And so that's what our faith is, reasonable faith. It's rational. It makes sense based upon the evidences before us. to believe the way that we believe. It's not blind faith. It's not a leap of faith to believe something blindly, but it's based upon the evidences. Now, it doesn't mean that you have all the facts. You still have to have that faith that based upon the facts, then you have the hope based upon the facts and your faith. Now, it goes through and it uses a little term here that Abraham was heir of the world. If you ever looked at that passage, Abraham was the heir of the whole world. Now, that goes back to what God promised Abraham back in Genesis, that through your descendants, all the nations of the world would be blessed. And Paul was saying that blessing, that all the world will be blessed through Abraham, means that in some respects, Abraham was heir to the whole world, that the kingdom of God would be open to everyone, not just to a select few that God chose, or not just those who were born in the right place at the right time, but open to the whole world. And in that respect, Abraham was heir to the whole world. And the last part in this, he goes through the idea that it can't be by law. Now, by law, he means it can't be by just living a good life. We have this idea sometimes, well, if this person lives a good life, they're definitely going to heaven. And Paul says, that doesn't ring true. Because when you say somebody lives a good life, what about the other part of their life? What about when they fell short? What are you going to do with that? That's where the wrath of God is. And so Paul says, if you depend upon yourselves to be saved before God, you can't depend on that. The promise is not going to stand. He said the only way it can be guaranteed is it doesn't depend on you, but depends on God. And so that's what he says, the promises can be guaranteed because it's not on you, it's on God and your belief in Him. And in that respect, that very promise of salvation can be guaranteed. It can never be guaranteed if it rests upon ourselves or who we are. So now let's look at Abraham. And let's look at his faith. And let's look again at the lesson text in Romans chapter 4. God said, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken his faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was 100 years old. And when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. Why did Abraham believe God? Paul gives us two basic reasons. He says, because he knew that God gave life to the dead, and he called into existence things that do not exist. In other words, the very creation of the world. Why do we believe in God today? One of the main reasons I believe in God today is the very fact that we're here, that we exist. Have you ever thought about why things exist? We know that nothing exists that just comes into existence from nothing. That anything that starts to exist had to have a cause to exist. And so to believe that cause that our universe, we know our universe had a beginning. We read that in Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you turn to science, science itself tells you that this universe had a beginning, had a cause. Well, what was that cause? It's reasonable to believe that cause was God. And that's where Abraham was. Because of the existence of the universe, because things existed, Abraham believed that God was the cause of those things' existence. And the second idea is he gave life to the dead. Life is one of those tremendous miracles before us that sometimes we almost take for granted until we have someone that's close to us die. Have you ever been at someone's bedside and someone close to you die? Maybe you weren't there when they actually died, but came by the next day after they had passed away. That idea of life and death, I mean, you wish somebody in their life, and the next day, they're not. They're dead. And it's that spark of life is either there or it's not. And it's a miracle when life is there. And we recognize that miracle, especially when it's gone. If you ever lost, even with animals, we see that. You have a pet that's very special to you, and that pet's alive, and then something happens, and it's dead. And the difference between life and death is it's day and night. And who holds that power of life?
Life doesn't just happen. It doesn't happen by chance. It had to have something to cause life to be. And Abraham believed life came from God. God is the one that holds life, and he holds death, and he can bring the dead to life. And that's why Abraham believed God, and believed if God made him a promise of life, this is the God that created the universe. Now, there was contrary evidence for Abraham. Paul says he hoped against hope, because look at the situation Abraham was in. Abraham was 100 years old. If you turn over to Genesis, back in Genesis, when it talks about Abraham and Sarah, Sarah was past the time that women had children. It says she no longer had her monthly cycle. We would call that Sarah was past menopause. That women that are past menopause, they don't have babies. And that's what the Bible, that's what it means. She was barren, and she was past the childbearing age. She was no longer having a monthly period. She couldn't have a child. Abraham no longer could have children. It said his body was as good as dead. That means he could no longer have children. So here God comes with this old couple, an old man and an old woman. And they come together and he says, I'm going to come back in a year and you're going to have a baby. Well, now, would you believe that? That's why he says hope against hope. I mean, the evidences were there. But on the other side, why did Abraham believe God? Because he knew that this was the creator of the universe. He says, if God could create the whole universe, then if he makes me this promise, he has the power to do it. And that's why Abraham believed against all hope. Because he knew that the one that made the promise was able to fulfill it. And so in that respect, his faith was reasonable. Because here was the very master of the universe, the one that had created everything from nothing. The one that gives life to those who are dead. And if this person tells me that, I know that promise can stand. And so that's why Abraham believed God. Now, Paul does something in this section that's a little, you might miss it. Because he actually interweaves different time periods. If you go back to Genesis, in chapter 12, God calls Abraham and tells him to leave his nation and go to a land that he will show him. And Abraham believes God and he goes. About 10 years later, we read about the passage where Paul quotes here, where it was credited to Abraham for, and he believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. In other words, not by what he did, but by what he believed, God credited to his account righteousness. That happens about 10 years after he had left the land of Haran. But the situation that Paul talks about here, where God comes back to Abraham and tells him he's going to have a son when he's 100 years old, that's 15 years later. So in other words, Paul is using an example of something happened 15 years later in Abraham's life to show the faith that Abraham had 15 years before. And if you look over to Genesis chapter 22, we have a passage that James uses again to show the faith of Abraham. And this happens about 15 years later after all of this. And this is when God calls Abraham to offer Isaac, the son that was born to him when he was 100 years old, as a sacrifice. And Abraham does that. Of course, God provides a lamb instead. But in chapter 22, after this had happened, we read, "And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven, as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.'" In the life of Abraham, then, we see the importance of belief and faith. But we see that importance of belief and faith through his whole life. It wasn't just something that happened one time, and that was it. Abraham walked with God, and that's why the covenant is given to him at one spot. And then 10 years later, God repeats the covenant. And then 15 years later, he repeats it again. And this is where Paul says that we see the faith of Abraham because he believed God. And then 15 years later, God calls Abraham to task again, and he again believes God, and God again reiterates the great promise that he would be heir to the world. So through Abraham's life, he was faithful throughout the whole life. And so when Paul talks about faith, that's the kind of faith he talks about. That we can have that kind of faith. that we can walk with our Lord. We can believe Him, and we can walk through Him the whole time. If you go through Abraham's life, it wasn't always easy. There were things, ups and downs in Abraham's life, but he believed God through it all. And that is why it was credited to him for righteousness, because he believed God, and his faith was in the one who made the promise, and Abraham found that to be reasonable. Now look at how Paul closes this, because this is, comes now back to you and to I. When we talk about what does peace mean with our Lord? Listen to what Paul says. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, since we are now right with God because we believe in Him, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also attained by faith into grace which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Do you ever think about the peace that we have with God and what that means? Last week we looked at when the angels came down to heaven to sing when Jesus was born, and says, peace on earth and goodwill to man on whose God, on whose favor rests. Sometimes we look at that peace on earth as being peace on earth between men. But that's not what the angels were talking about. They were talking about peace between man and God. That's what Paul talks about here. We can have peace. That peace is between you and I and God. That's that peace. We can have that special relationship. And that's why Paul says, that's why Jesus had to die on the cross. So that our sins could be forgiven and He would be raised but for our justification, for our rightness with God, so that we could have peace with God, so we could have that kind of relationship with God, a kind of relationship we could never have before. Now we could have a true relationship with God, our Father, and we could have that hope. That hope is promised only to us. It's just the same kind of hope that Abraham hoped could have. Abraham could have that hope that he knew God was faithful to his promise. And we can too. Look over with me at a few places where it talks about the hope. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 is one of the powerful passages to me of the hope that we have. He says, blessed be the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He had caused us to be born again, a new life, into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, through Jesus' resurrection, because we know Christ arose, we too have that same hope that we will too arise with Him one day. And that our hope is based upon that evidence that Christ rose. And that's what Paul talks about in Thessalonians. If you look over to the letter of Thessalonians at the very end, we talk about the hope that we have even in death. When Paul talks about that we know the one that holds life and death in His hands. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but we not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep and grieve like others who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with Him all those who have fallen asleep. What do we hope in? Because of that resurrection, we know that just as God raised Jesus, He will raise us too. And so our hope can rest upon a reasonableness of God. That God has the power and is faithful to fulfill His promises. And just as Abraham believed God, we too can believe God and have that hope. So through the resurrection, we see the justice of God and on His side. And on our side, we have peace, a new relationship with God. And so the cross brings us all together. It's what brings God back together with us so we can be reconciled with God as we never could be before. We can have peace with Him. We have hope for eternal life. God's justice has been reckoned with and has been, His wrath has been removed from us. That's why Jesus died on the cross. You look back to chapter 4, the last verse, we read, it will be counted to those who believe in Him who raised from our dead the Lord Jesus Christ, who was delivered up for our trespasses or our sins and raised for our justification so that we could be right with God. And so we see in the resurrection of Jesus Christ a way that we can be back in relationship with God. We have peace, we have hope, we have eternal life for all those who believe in Jesus. That's the story of the cross. And this time of year, we need to always remember it. Because some people will tell you it's not important. But it is important. This is the most important story to me in all the existence of the world, because this is the story that gives us eternal life. This is the story that shows us God's love and shows how God wants to reconcile the world back to Him. And so Abraham could truly be heir of the world. We can be part of the kingdom that was promised to Abraham, that was fulfilled when Christ went to the cross, that we can be part of. This morning, are you part of that kingdom? You can be if you have the faith of Abraham, if you believe in the Lord, if you start the new life by being baptized into Christ and arise to walk with Him, not just for a day or a week, but as Abraham, your whole life on this earth, even your whole life in eternity. That's the walk that Jesus promised each one of us. If you have need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.